Thank you for that. If you have one of our discipleship books, you're gonna want to go to page number 51 in the book. That's where we are at. We are in the chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken, on membership. It's called Signing On. And we've talked about church, actually. We started this chapter last week, and then also in the last two Sundays, we preached about church, different angles, but this is more geared towards becoming a part of a church. And so we'll look at that. Last week, we started talking about why church is important. And I mentioned that in the service a week ago last Sunday. And so I want to pick it up there. We gave you the three of the first four reasons: because Jesus gave himself for the church. That's a good one right there. Because God commands us to faithfully attend. And because God has a primary goal for the church. Now, this is new. Because it's a place that brings God glory. Because it's a place that brings God glory. The little statement there: God is glorified by the faithful group of believers in the church who are fulfilling his will and following his word. That glorifies God. You know, the Bible tells us whatsoever you do, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:31, maybe I'm wrong there, but whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do should ultimately bring glory to God. Amen. And I know this, obedience to his word brings glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 says, and we've looked at this verse in other contexts recently, unto him, God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See, the reason it's important to think about this, because all of us would say we want to honor and glorify God, but if we're not careful, we tend to see church through what it does for us. Now, by the way, I'm going to say there's nothing wrong with that. Church has done a lot for me. And look, I don't think a Christian can stay faithful to God if they're not in church faithfully. I've just not seen it. But although the church does a lot for us, we do need to understand our responsibility in the church, which is to bring honor and glory and glory to the Lord. It'll help you in your life. The church will. It'll help you with your children. It'll uplift you so that you can make it through the week. Right? There's just something about, even on a Thursday night after you get past Wednesday, which is what, hump day, right? Now you're on the downhill side of the week and looking forward to the weekend. And so, you know, people's attitude, usually it's worse at work on Monday. How many of you understand that, right? It's like, and as you get towards Thursday, when I worked in the warehouse, Thursday was a real good day to get started because that's when they would pay us. And then the way we worked, if we finished our job, we got, and it was before 8.5 hours, you got to go home early. And the orders got less and less as the week went on, so the guys got more motivated. But you know, you get towards that end of the week, you need a shot in the arm. And then you need that on Sunday. You get that encouragement through church, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the problem. Sometimes people come into a church, and all they're doing, and not that it's wrong, but you're just taking in. You're getting all this stuff, and God's work in your life, and you're getting some Christian friends, and it's a place for your children, and it's a place that'll uplift the values that you have, and you get all that stuff, and it kind of ends there. And then when, you know, you hear preaching or teaching about, hey, you know how the church is funded? Through the tithes of God's people. You know, that went over real well. You know how the work of the church gets done? It gets done through the work of God's people. And you start hearing that, it's like, whoa, bro, responsibility, that's life. You know, it's like the person you get married and it's all about what you get out of the marriage. No, marriage is about what you put into the marriage. And if you put into the marriage, guess what happens? Nothing good, no. You get out of the marriage. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. The more you put into your family, the more it's just a side product. But we get a lot out of church, but let's make sure that first and foremost, we see the church as a place where we can act and serve and do all the things God wants us to do and ultimately He gets the honor and he gets the glory. Now, what is the purpose of the church? We saw why church is important, but what is the purpose of the church? One of the best parts about being a Christian is the privilege we have to be a part of a good Bible-believing church. And we already talked about that. When we are committed to our church, it adds much to our life, both practically and spiritually. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you get spiritual things out of it. You're pushed to the throne. You're pushed to God's word, all these different things. But God has appointed specific purposes for the church that will enrich our lives. We see this in Acts chapter number 2, and we'll look at the verses. Let me give you some of them. So what are some of the purposes of the church? First, learn the Bible. Learn the Bible. Okay? The Bible has got to be front and center in the church. I don't know why we're trying to get away from that. You know, we try to downplay that. The average church, no one wants to bring a Bible to church. By the way, bring a Bible to church. Okay, I encourage you to do that. Now, I'm not gonna go. You know, if I use my phone for that or whatever, that's fine. Don't be checking, you know, your scores or your team or whatever. I've mentioned this over and over. I read my Bible on my iPad. I like it. That's a kind of it's Olive Tree and it has that Bible feel to it, and I take notes on it and all that, and that works for me. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I come to church, I like to bring a physical Bible to church. If I bring my phone, you know, I'm checking it for this, that, and the other, or everything's popping up, you know, I get a, you know, the cat runs through the kitchen, you know, boom, you know, there's motion in the kitchen, you know, that little app on the Nest app and all that, you know, there's motion in the backyard. It's probably the dog's doing something they shouldn't, or there's a skunk back there or something. But you have to have a Bible. The Bible is why we're here. You say, well, what about the purpose and the things we're trying to do in the church? It all comes from Scripture. We're not just making stuff up. We're not just going to come here and spit out pop psychology. There's a really well-known, I won't even do him the honor of giving his name, preacher in this country, one of the biggest churches in the country, and a bunch of the newer type churches follow him. And he was preaching on why we're not reaching people. And he said, and he quoted, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. And he quoted the last phrase, for the Bible tells me so. And he said, that's the problem right there. I don't care if he has 30,000 people in our church. He's an idiot. Yeah. He says, you don't preach people the Bible. So what do we reach them with? Psychology? I mean, that's not working. What do you want us to do, lay a bunch of couches out here and you tell us all your problems? That's depressing. No, we need to learn the Bible. And so the Bible's very important. As we learned in an earlier chapter, we are to spend daily time in God's word. And there's no substitute for that at all. But we supplement that with the teaching and preaching that we hear at church. As I mentioned before, as I was learning the Bible and I didn't know much of it and I started to read it and a lot of the things were new, but as I was reading it, at the same time I'm going to the services of the church and I'm seeing verses preached on, and it all meshes together. And it helps me to understand. Next, what we read in the Bible and what we hear at church will work together to build our knowledge in the Word of God and help us to become wise. Now, what's the verse? Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, who's they? That was these people that were saved at Pentecost and that were baptized and they were added to the church, and it didn't stop there. They continued in the apostles' doctrine or teachings. See, a lot of us get messed up because we don't know the Bible. And some person comes or some radio preacher and he says something that sounds cute and he sounds something that seems to make sense, but there's not an ounce of scripture in it. It's just psychology and like, no, I want to stick with the scripture. Well, I'm not trying to dumb down church. I'm not trying to add stuff to it. I want to stay in the Bible. And by the way, you know, a lot of the things people criticize about church and our beliefs, it's like, man, read the New Testament and tell me you don't see that. We're going to talk a little bit over this over the next couple of Sunday nights, and we're going to talk about grace and some other things that are confusing. I can guarantee you this. Ready? Nobody in here could stand up and say, "You know what? I'm getting too much Bible."
Come on.
How many of you ever?
Come on.
You know the Bible talks about you get too much honey, right? And it can make you sick. How many of you see that in Proverbs? When I was in Bible college on Saturdays, we were on our bus route in North Chicago from like 10 in the morning till 9 at night. Just rush, rush, rush. And I lived on baklava. There was a little Greek shop up there in the middle of nowhere. And it was, you know, how many of you know what baklava is? It's a Greek pastry that's loaded with honey. And I ate though, I mean, by the handfuls. I can't even eat them anymore. It got to the point where I'm like, you know that richness? It's like, ugh. I think my wife remembered I liked them at college, and she brought some home one day. I'm like, I'm good. I'm still full from college. Okay? It makes me nauseous to think. You know what? Noah's like, you know, I'm full of the Bible, bro. I don't need any more. No, no, no. We haven't even scratched the surface.
Come on.
Next, fellowship together. Fellowship together. A church is made up of people. When you join a church, here's the deal. We are joining a specific group of people. You hear them talk about church family, right? That's us. When you're joining a church, you're not saying, I'm joining this building.
Yeah.
This building is where we meet, right? This isn't the church. Now, you know, you talk about, okay, the church is us. And so when I'm joining a church, I'm joining it because the beliefs and all the other things, but I have to understand I'm also growing, I'm also joining a body of believers. I'm part of that group. And as such, I need to take my place in that group. And I need to fellowship. If you are going to have a good relationship with our church, we must build strong relationships with our fellow members. This is called fellowship. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2, 42, and fellowship. See? By the way, one of the things I heard through COVID, and people would come, and I get it, and they're like, you know, I feel disconnected. I get it. You know why we feel disconnected? We weren't together. We weren't able to be together like we were in the past. I felt disconnected. The only thing that kept me, you know, sane is, well, actually not sane because there's so many in our family. You know, all the people in our family, that's like a church right there. But we were disconnected from each other because we weren't, you know, and all these little things. And the governor telling us you can't even have Thanksgiving with your family. Why, he is out at a restaurant. But anyhow, I'm sure we all recall that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure we'll recall that in November.
Yeah.
It's called hypocrisy there. But yeah, because you know, and by the way, if you felt like that, and we all to a certain extent felt like that, did we not?
Yeah.
Come on, when we first were able to come back to church, it was like seeing people you hadn't seen in forever. Now I know you sent me your pictures, and it's not the same thing. But because we missed each other. By the way, that's a good thing. You know what that means? You actually like the people at church.
Absolutely.
Most of them. You're unusual. Okay, but fellowship, being together. By the way, don't neglect that. That's why we talked about a whole lesson on the importance of your adult Bible class, because in a smaller setting, that's where those relationships are going to be birthed there.
Yeah.
Next, observe the ordinances. Now, we already talked about one of them in the First Steps chapter, which is baptism. Okay, the other is the Lord's Supper. Baptism, of course, identifies us with Christ, and it's a way also of entrance into the church. But in your book, the Lord's Supper is a time when we remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. And we reflect on what we are doing for him. And we'll get back to that in July. We haven't been able to do that. Okay, very important. It's not some religious ritual, right? Baptism's not a ritual. It's a testimony of an experience we had.
Right.
I'm saved. I died with Christ. And I'm raised with him so I can have that type of resurrection power to live in newness of life. And the Lord's Supper is a time when we think about what Jesus did. He gave his body for us, the bread. He shed his blood for us, the juice. And we remember. We make sure our life lines up. We do that through the church. Acts 2:41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And in verse 42, and in breaking of bread. So the two ordinances are for two specific reasons. Baptism is for, if you want to give it a word, identification.
Yep.
And the Lord's Supper is for remembrance.
Yep.
Next, pray together. Pray together. We taught about that in the devotion chapter. But there is nothing more encouraging than knowing that someone is praying for you in times of trouble. Now, you may not understand that if you're the one praying for somebody, right? But when you're going through something and you need someone to pray for you, that's when you really get it. Right? It's like, yeah, I'll pray for you, and we pray, and it's like, I know we're speaking to God on their behalf, but you may not get the significance of it and why people are appreciative of that. But then when you're going through something hard and you know someone's praying for you, it's a big deal then.
Yes, sir.
And you really comprehend the importance of prayer. And so we pray. Yeah, we pray for the church. We pray for the needs of the church, but we pray for each other. Being a part of a church, makes you part of a family that would love to pray for your needs. It also gives you the opportunity to pray for the needs of others. And I regularly get people like, hey, you know, my mom this, my dad that, or I'm getting this, or this is going on, or I have a job interview, these different things, and they'll shoot me a text. I'm glad. I want to do that. I want to pray for you. And so that's why we're here. Acts chapter 2:42, one of the things they continued in prayers. And remember this about prayer. Prayer is a door that swings both ways. You pray for others, and they will pray for you.
Yeah.
Next, another purpose of the church is to share the gospel. Share the gospel. God has given that to responsibility to the individuals. But it's motivated and fueled through the church. It's a responsibility of the church too.
Yeah.
And we got to get the gospel out to this world. The good news of salvation which you have received can be good news for those who have not yet heard it. Brother Kabutala's testimony there. Going out at COVID and winning a lady to the Lord who several months later passed away. I'm pretty sure he's glad he went out. And I dead sure know she's glad that he went out. God has ordained that it is through his people in the church that the gospel be spread from one person to another. That's God's plan. Now, during the tribulation, he'll do something a little different. But we're not in the tribulation, okay? You may think we are, but we're not. We just have a bad governor. That's how God gives it out. It's from us to other people. Now, you think about how you got the gospel. Think for a minute. It's associated with a person. You say, well, yeah, I know your testimony. You got the gospel because you went to church on an Easter Sunday and you heard a message and you went down the aisle. That's true. But you know how I went to church that day? I was invited.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you know one of the reasons I was really ready to get saved on that day? Because there are several times I had already been witnessed to. I knew it already. When I went out there, he didn't have to explain hardly anything to me. We went out to the side of that building because it was crowded on an Easter. The side walls, I can't even go there anymore. It's a condo. They ripped the building down.
Yeah.
I probably got saved where someone's restroom is. And I just sat on the chair, and he asked me the question again. He started giving the gospel. He didn't have to do much. I'd already heard it. I was ready to go. And I totally understood it when he told me, when I made that decision. But you know what? There's people. I can remember a guy once. I was sitting on the bus stop one time. In a high school, and a guy stopped, and he talked to me, and he gave me the gospel. The Glad Tidings Annex Church, where I went there to terrorize. The only time I went to church before I was in high school, one time, and someone took me there, and I terrorized the Sunday school department. But I remember that someone there explained the gospel to me. Okay? So it's people. And you look back, there's someone that gave you the gospel. So what are we going to do with it? Are we going to give it to somebody else? That's why we're here on Tuesday night. Okay? That's why we have tracts. Not so you can stick them in your purse. Not fellas. Don't just not stick them in your purse. Because we can give them out to people.
Amen.
That's our job. So let's sign up for Summer Saturation this next Tuesday night.
Amen.
Next, another purpose of the church is to grow us as Christians. Grow us. Of course, church is essential to our growth as a Christian. God wants us to grow in our faith so we can serve others and be a source of strength to our fellow believers. How can we help others if we are weak? Right? I mean, if we're not strong spiritually, how are we going to be able to help others that need someone to help them? If we're not growing in our faith, we dead sure are not going to be able to encourage somebody else to grow in their faith. We're not. And so we need to do that so we can help others. Ephesians 4:12, part of the purpose of the church is for the perfecting, maturing of the saints so they can do the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Listen to this. A healthy church will be a growing church.
Yeah.
If we want to grow, we've got to be healthy. But as a church grows, but a church grows only as its members grow and are healthy. See, we need to be healthy. We need to be growing. We need to be grounded in our faith. And as we grow and are healthy and are grounded in our faith and are spending time with God, what does the Bible say we'll bring forth? Fruit. If we're unhealthy, the whole church is going to be unhealthy. But if we're healthy, you got a bunch of Christians that are bringing forth fruit. And we're being able to help other people. That's one of the reasons we're going through this. I want you to understand the concept. We're trying to push to new Christians. We need to be healthy. Next, we're going to start this section. We will not finish it. Why are we a Baptist church? Okay, why? There's a specific reason. Have you ever been asked what your religion is? They're not supposed to legally do that, right? But they do that. You ever see that on there? And usually, now there's more now. It's kind of like gender. It used to be pretty simple, gender, right? What's your gender? Boy, girl. I don't understand the other ones. I don't. Binary, non-binary, a bunch of vowels, all these different things. And they used to put that down for, what's your religion? You're either Catholic or what? Protestant. What's a Protestant? Apparently, it's everything that's not Catholic. Okay? There are many options. Now, Pacific, and I want to explain this to you so you understand it. We got a few minutes left. Pacific Baptist Church is not a Protestant church. Why? Well, let me explain. And by the way, we're not Catholic either. We did not protest and separate from the Catholic Church. Okay? You know, a Protestant church typically is a church that protested the false doctrine of the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages and came out of that church. And it was typically founded by someone who was considered a reformer. They got out of the church and they're trying to reform the doctrine, the false doctrine that the Catholic Church had in their new belief system. The doctrine being the false doctrine. By the way, I'm not slamming Catholics. It's not the same as the doctrinally it is, but you know, one of the reasons it was called the Dark Ages is because of the Catholic Church.
Yep.
They killed millions of Christians.
Oh, yeah.
They were more powerful than many kingdoms. Do your history. The Pope had more power than some of the kings.
Yep.
And if you did not fall in line, you were put to death. The Catholic Church in the Dark Ages didn't want you to have a Bible. They knew. They knew if you had a Bible, what would happen? You would read it, understand that everything that was going on there was false. The popes were more political leaders than spiritual leaders. I could tell you some of the ways some of them died, very bad. I couldn't mention it in a mixed crowd. Some of the things they did. Okay? And so they were abusing, selling indulgences. You know, you can have your sins forgiven later when you die if you give us money now.
Yep.
Talk about a building program. Okay? There was a lot of nonsense going on. And so these reformers got wise to the doctrine, and they came out. By the way, the Baptists never came out of the Catholic Church.
Right.
We were never part of it. We were that group of Christians, that church that were the group of Christians that came out from the book of Acts.
Yep.
Trace our lineage. We didn't have to come out. You say, well, why do you call yourself Baptist? These names, and I'm going to go into the history, there's many names that were given for Baptists. Okay, Anabaptist. You know, they didn't like the fact that we baptized by immersion because the Catholic Church didn't baptize by immersion.
Right.
They sprinkled. By the way, sprinkling would be so much better. You can just walk outside and we'll grab a hose and it's all good.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not scriptural. And baptizing babies. And so some of them, that's why they were persecuted. They say, you want to be baptized? They were called rebaptizers because you're baptizing again. You were already baptized or should have been baptized as a baby. You don't need to be baptized again.
Yeah.
And so they'd hold them under and drown them. Say, you want to be baptized? We'll make sure it's permanent. And so these reformers came out of that. The Baptist Church never was part of that in the first place. We can trace our doctrine straight back. The problem, and here's another reason, the problem is the reformers didn't come far enough out of Catholicism. We've all heard of the monk Martin Luther,
yes.
not the civil rights, the one from the 1500s. You know, Martin Luther did not come, and I understand what he did. He got the ball rolling, but he would not have liked us. He would have no problem, and he did not have a problem with us being persecuted and even put to our death if we were Baptists, because he didn't buy into that doctrine. They didn't come out, and I understand it was the Dark Ages. And so we're not a Protestant church. That's the point. We are a Baptist church. And by the way, and I won't go into this, one of the issues with that too is the Protestant churches are eventually going to go back, I believe, to the Catholic Church in the end times. There's going to be a one world church headed in Rome, the Seven Hills. That sounds like where the Vatican is. And these churches that came out are going to return to that harlot church, the Bible calls it. We're a Baptist church. We trace our roots back to the early church founded in the book of Acts. We are a Baptist church because it stands for a core set of beliefs. Yes, we are Christians first and foremost, and we are thrilled to be able to be called by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll say this, Baptists are not the only Christians, but the Baptists stand for something. That's why we're a Baptist. We're not a denomination either, by the way. We'll get into that later. But we're not, you know, these churches. Well, we're not. Look, churches are afraid to tell people what they are anymore. Okay, there's a church by our house. I don't think they're bad people. You know, Cornerstone Church. And I'm preaching against them. They had a way better tent than we had. I'd go for a walk through my neighborhood, and I'd cut through the thing, and I'd walk under their tent. I'm like, I want this one. Okay, it was like heavy metal, not like the heavy metal some of you listen to. But it was really nice, but it's like probably seven times what we paid for ours. And I'm like, we're good. But look, and I don't know anything about them, except this. I don't know what they believe. I think they're Christians. I've met a couple of people that go there. I'm not saying they're not Christians. But why don't we want to identify? That's too generic. You see, people don't want to be tied down to a set of beliefs.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I want you to know who we are. People know what Baptist is. And I know people like personally, we're going to take the name Baptist. I know somebody, they took the name Baptist off their church. And when they were asked, they're like, because we just want to focus on loving people. Well, I'm like, well, you know us. We're Baptists. We hate everybody.
Yeah.
Kind of nonsense answer. No, they don't want to be set. They don't want to be honed into a certain set of beliefs.
Yeah.
I can go any church. The Vine, the Branch, the Rock, the Lizard, you name it. It's like, most of them are probably Christian, I don't know, but I don't know what they believe when I go in. Are they charismatic? What do they believe about the inspiration of scriptures? I don't know. Because it's a generic. I'm not going to, you know, you want to name your restaurant something so people won't know it's a restaurant. The Suit Palace. Well, I think I'm buying clothes there. Aha, we got you in the door. We're selling food. Okay, well, let's not, I want people to know what we believe, and I want you to know what we believe.
Amen.
I'm not hiding it. I'm not against people. If they don't want to have that, that's between them and God. I'm just saying, I think we need to know what we believe, and I think we need to quit. And then we're taking the word church off of it. The vineyard. The vineyard what? Are you in there making wine? You know, the root. Are you making beer? Get it, root beer, thanks. Okay, we're church. We're church. I'm not going to hide behind that.
Amen.
Anyhow. By the way, it doesn't help that Baptists are doing that. Some big name at Baptist is real small at the bottom. Welcome to the grape. Well, that sounds fruity. Here's why it is a big deal. What we believe as Christians is vitally important. We cannot believe that we are going to reach more people by hiding what we truly believe. Okay?
Yeah.
When you talk to someone and say, I'm from Pacific Baptist Church, they know you're from a church.
Yeah.
And they kind of get it. Okay, I've heard of Baptist Church. I kind of get it. And it's not, we're not trying to be offensive or anything, but I want to know, we're a church. And next time we get together, we'll go over what are the specifics about being a Baptist. Now, we'll look at some of the core beliefs and why we take the name Baptist. Other churches believe some of these things, but as a whole, Baptists believe them. Baptist stands for something. And we're not gonna dilute that. I don't mind our church. When people come into our church, they know it's a Baptist church, and so they know to expect church. They know what to expect. First church I went to, the Glad Tidings Annex. Glad Tidings. My first time I ever went to church in my life, I think I was 11 years old. And I went because they were offering a gift. I went to Sunday school. I was a holy terror. The Sunday school teacher was pinching my neck. And you know what? Say, he shouldn't do that. Like, I deserved it. He should have choked me out. But I went into the service, and they had some weird things going on. There were people moaning in the back room. And I'm with my friend like, is that like the torture chamber? I was scared. I'm like, keep me away from that room. I don't know what they're doing in there, but I don't want to do it. But I don't know what they believe. Now, apparently they were charismatic. But Glad Tidings, I don't know, that just is the gospel, right? Okay, no, those people were sounding like there was no good tidings in that back room. It sounded like, I don't believe in purgatory, but if there was, they were there. Okay, but look, don't be afraid that we're a Baptist church.
Amen.
We're not being snobby towards everybody else. You know, go hoe your own garden. But there's a reason we are. And there's some beliefs we want to stick to that have traditionally been Baptist beliefs, and we're going to stick with them. What are they? They are next week or the week after, because we have Brother Tomlinson. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we are grateful for your love. I pray, Father, that you would just be with us. Thank you for this church. Well, we're not the only church, but I love this church. I can't think of ever being a part of another one. I don't mean that in a critical way. I just love this place. I pray you'd help us to love our church, to understand the purpose of our church, why we're here, and help us to be fully involved and get everything out of church that you want us to get, and help us to do everything as a church you want us to do.
Amen.
Bless us until we meet together this Sunday. Lord, give us a great Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.